Going to ask Zoe to come and join me for a moment because I've asked her to come and bring the Bible reading to us this morning so that you don't have to listen to me for a really long extended period of time. So while she prepares over there, just to let you know, we are starting a new sermon series called As Told by Luke. So if you want to follow along, there are some Bibles at the back. Please do take this opportunity now to go and grab one of those. And we will be looking at Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41 on page 1028. Luke was also the writer of Acts, and there are references in there to we. So we know that he was a travelling companion of the Apostle Paul, and he refers to him as a dear friend, Luke, the doctor and fellow worker. He was probably a Gentile, well-educated in Greek culture, and a physician. He was a prophetic messenger who prepared the people of Israel as we are preparing ourselves this morning to meet with our God. So Luke 1 introduces the forerunners of the story. It's a tale of two births. Elizabeth gives birth to John the Baptist, who prepares the way. And then starting in chapter 2, Mary gives birth to Jesus. And in this gospel, we find out something about Jesus's childhood, only in this gospel. If you're all ready at chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and I will pass over to Zoe. 41, apologies.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astounded. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went back down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in his favour with God and man.
Thank you. I do have a couple of slides. I'm going to try something new this morning. So hopefully, there we go, that's the title page. Chris and I are going to do some wizardry to kind of make the slides move on, hopefully. So here we are at the beginning of the story. And it's a story about a festival. And many of us will be making plans over the summer, perhaps not to a festival, but perhaps on a holiday or going away on a trip. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So I'm going to take the opportunity to go through the context of this particular story, put ourselves in the shoes of the main characters, what it means to be searching for something, the importance of spending time with our Heavenly Father, and how Mary treasured all these things in her heart and what we might be able to learn from Mary this morning. So this morning's story is one of preparation and revelation. Preparation and revelation. We start this passage with every year Jesus's parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. So they were familiar with this particular journey. It was a Jewish festival held every year to remember what God had done to rescue the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. So it celebrated God's deliverance from Pharaoh, God's protection of the Israelites. They were told to sacrifice a lamb and paint it on their doors so that the angel of death would pass over them and they would be free. And it also spoke of God's covenant promise to the people that they would be redeemed and saved. So it's no accident that when we hear Jesus first speak in the Gospels, it happens at Passover. As we've said, this is a story of preparation and revelation. Jesus is still a young boy. He's only 12. But already he's showing maturity in his identity and in his mission. So at 12 years old, he went up to the festival according to the custom. And I'm picking up on this because at 12 years old, Jewish boys were preparing to take their place in the religious community the following year. So he would have been well versed in the scriptures. This was a celebration and a custom that would have been very familiar to the family, as was this particular journey. And I put a map up on there just so that you can kind of understand where this journey was taking place. So they were living at the top there in the north in Nazareth. If you can see, there's a couple of red lines on this map. It gives us two options for this particular journey. So there was the direct route through Samaria, which was very hilly. And we know that there were some tensions amongst the Samaritan people, but that part of the journey would have taken about 65 miles walking. The other route that they could have taken was down towards the Jordan Valley. They would have avoided Samaria. It would have been much cooler, much flatter, but it would have been slightly longer, so 70 miles walking. This was not a short journey. But the Jordan Valley route was probably the route that Mary and Joseph took with Jesus as a child. And as we think about preparing for our festivals and our caravans, they would have also traveled in a caravan, but not the caravan that we would be used to, where we have all our luxuries on board. This would have been a caravan of people. So they would have traveled with their aunties, their uncles, their nieces, their nephews, children, young and old, those that could walk quickly, those that couldn't walk quickly. So there would have been a real hubbub and a real excitement in preparing for this festival. So just to give you some kind of idea, it's likely that Mary and Joseph were traveling with their family, with a large group. So ordinarily, a journey like this would have taken 4 to 5 days at normal pace, but with children, more than likely a week. And then they would have celebrated at this festival for a few days, and then they would have had that same journey all the way back as well. It was a big occasion in the Jewish calendar. So we're thinking about making plans in advance. When we think about our plans, it's worth thinking, who are we taking with us and have we got everything? Particularly if you're traveling with other people and families, you need to make sure that between you, you all have the right provisions that's going to keep you going for the length of time that you're away. And then you need to think about how you're going to get there. So if you're making plans on this journey with God, let's be expectant, because we know that God wants to reveal something of himself to us on this particular journey. So have a thought. Whether you're new to finding Jesus, whether you're still searching, whether you've been on this journey of life for a while now. But who are you traveling with? Who are your companions? What provisions will you need? Have you got everything packed for the journey? Is there anything that you are missing? An item that you might need, or some sort of information or direction? Are you prepared if there's a change in the weather? Well, we know it would have been very hot and dusty back then, but in our day, we need to prepare for the rain, the wind, and the storms. Are you ready for the unexpected? So I think one of the key truths that we need to understand when we're preparing is that God wants to partner with us. He wants to join us on the journey. If you're thinking, well, I haven't quite got there yet, well, that's okay, because the journey isn't the destination. It's about how we get there. And the Holy Spirit wants to join you in these preparations, the joy, the excitement, when things are going well, but also perhaps when they're not. So this is a journey of transformation, to learn, to grow, and to become more like Jesus along the way. So are we prepared for God's revelation? Are we searching? And are we expectant of the unexpected? Because that's what God tends to do. Everybody is searching for something. Peace, joy, happiness. I found this particular picture. It was taken a few years ago now, but it just demonstrates that when you're looking for treasure, you never know what you might find. You have to be prepared to expect the unexpected. Sometimes you'll find treasure, but sometimes you might come across a little bit of trash on the way too. So the journey is likely to throw up something unexpected. Perhaps you're there now. A bump in the road, a challenge, a difficulty, an illness, a disappointment, maybe a storm to try and throw you off course. Back at verse 43, we read that after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled for a day. They began looking for him among their relatives, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. When we think about that map, when you leave Jerusalem, you have to go past Jericho, and there's a very long descent to get into Jericho. So they would have climbed a really big hill to get there. They've climbed the really big hill down, and then they realize that Jesus isn't with them. So I can imagine there's lots of emotions going on. That sense of panic. When did we lose him? How did we lose him? Where could he be? And I've been in that situation before in Marks and Spencer's, where William went missing as a little child. One minute you're looking at some lovely clothes, and the next minute you're in panic stations because your child is missing. And I had all these questions going around in my head. When did I last see him? Was he with my mum? Was he with me? Where could he be? What could he be thinking? And that sense of panic can kind of set in and cause us to react rather than thinking about how we might respond in these situations. It was a very short space of time before I found William. I can only imagine what it might have been like for Mary, having lost her son for a whole day, not knowing where he was, where he might be sleeping, what he might be eating, who was looking after him. So when we're in panic mode, it's all too easy to react and allow fear to drive our actions. God takes his time with us. He is slow to anger and merciful. Qualities that he wants to grow and nurture in us. Is there a situation that you're in at the moment where you feel anxious, worried, and find yourself reacting? I want you to ponder and just encourage you to just stop for a moment, pray, and don't panic. We all go through these experiences of confusion and pain and sorrow, difficulties along the way, but God is patient. And his timing is perfect. So we need to understand that with revelation, often that comes wrapped in confusion. God's work in your life may not look like what you expect it to look like. The telepathic wizardry is working. Look, there we go. So we find Jesus in the temple spending time with his heavenly Father. Oh, back a slide. There should be a slide that says, "Time with Dad, our Heavenly Father." There we go. Okay, another little visual for you. This particular picture, again, a few years ago, you'll remember when you learned to ride a bike, if you've ever learned to ride a bike, that it takes time and it takes an awful lot of practice and patience. So the key thing about riding a bike is about finding your balance and then looking in the right direction. So as long as William was doing this and he was heading forward, he was going in the direction that he was looking. At the point that he got overexcited though, and he shouted to Dad, "Dad, look at me, look at me." At that point, he starts rearing off course and going in the wrong direction. So it's important to remember our hearts tend to go where our eyes lead us. I'll say that again. Our hearts tend to go where our eyes lead us. Think about what your eyes are seeing and where you're looking, which direction of travel you're heading in. Is it of this world and is it of God? If so, then you'll be looking forward and towards love and peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, and all of those gifts of the fruits of the Spirit. If, however, you're witnessing cruelty, hatred, disappointment, some of those things, then perhaps we need to change the view and look in a slightly different direction. Lift up our eyes and focus on Jesus. When we look in his direction, we follow the straight path. Otherwise, it's easy to be distracted and led astray. So after 3 days, they found themselves in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And Rob has already pulled this particular part of the passage out. There's a couple of things I just want to kind of highlight there. After 3 days, numbers are important in the Bible, and I think the 3 days is a foreshadowing of when Jesus spends those 3 days with his heavenly Father after his death and his resurrection. What did he do? He was sitting, he was listening, and he was asking questions. Easy, right? Sitting, we can all sit, we can all listen, we can all ask questions. But sometimes finding the time to do that becomes a little more difficult. So here's a little bit of Bible trivia for you. Jesus asks over 300 questions in the four Gospels. In Luke, he asks 80. Matthew 75, Mark 50, and in John over 100. He is asked 183 questions. But interestingly, although he asks a lot of questions and is asked a lot of questions, he answers only 3 directly. I think there's something in that. Are we asking enough questions on our journey? Are we asking enough questions of ourselves, of God? Because asking questions keeps us in conversation with God. We might not get the answer or the response straight away, but God is always working in our lives, whether we see it or not. So wherever you are, bring those things that are on your heart to God and ask him the questions. If there's confusion, disappointment, misunderstanding, talk to God about it. He will not mind any of your questions, and none of them will be too difficult for him. Jesus forms us as disciples through reflection, not through information. So as hard as it might be to try and find that time to sit and be still and spend time with our Heavenly Father, it's really important that we try and do that. Jesus invites us into a relationship with him. And if we're constantly bombarded with the distractions, people wanting our attention, work, family commitments, it can be difficult to hear his voice. And sometimes it comes in the quiet, in the unexpected ways. He leads us to discover the truth, not just to receive it. So there's an awful lot of questions that I'm asking of you this morning. I'm not professing that I have the answers, but just an opportunity to just sit and think and spend some time with Jesus this morning. Verse 48. And Mary, upon finding Jesus, almost tells him off. There's a bit of a tone in her voice. Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. So they find Jesus, and there's that sense of relief and joy, but also that sense of, well, I'm your mum, and you've been a naughty boy, and so I have the authority to tell you off, because we've just had to walk all the way back up the hill from Jericho again. We're really tired, we're really exhausted, and you've been sat here for the last couple of days making us really worried. So Mary exerts her authority as a mother, but then Jesus, he kind of tells Mary off too, because he says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But Mary didn't understand what he was saying to them. I think to emphasize the point that Rob was making earlier, there's an awful lot that we can learn from our young people. So even though Jesus was only 12, he was mature. He was asking questions. He had a knowledge and an understanding of God, his Father, like nobody else. And I think we need to remember that when it comes to our interactions with our young people, that we can learn as much from them as they are learning from us. Age doesn't necessarily mean maturity, nor does it make somebody more clever or more intelligent. There's so much that we can learn from each other, regardless of age. And my experience, it's very humbling to be told off by a child, and I have been in that situation. many a valuable lesson have I learned from William, particularly about my own behaviours, my words and my actions. And it's very humbling when you have that reflected back to you. So we're all sons and daughters in this room, and sometimes that relationship is one of the hardest with our parents. We have much to learn from each other, and perhaps there's something about that particular relationship that God wants to reveal to you today. So if you're currently in a difficult situation, do you have all the information that you need before you act? What are the questions that you need to ask? Who do you need to ask? Is it God directly through prayer or reading his word? Or is it a question for somebody else? Where are you looking for the answers? Where are you spending time? And here's the biggest question of them all, the most important one that you may ask in your lifetime. Who is Jesus? And who is Jesus to you? The end of the story brings us to finding treasure. So then they went down to Nazareth, and Jesus was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Just going to focus a little on that idea of treasuring things in our heart. This was the second revelation that Mary had received about the identity of Jesus. You'll remember at the birth of Jesus, the humble shepherds came and proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah and the Savior of the world, that Jesus had come to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament, and that he would bring peace and joy to the world. Here we see Jesus revealing his own identity to his mum and dad. But it leaves Mary with some confusion. What does that mean? She doesn't. We have the benefit of hindsight, but at the time, as a mum, there must have been all sorts of things going on in her mind. And I think we feel that for our own children sometimes. Revelation can come from the most unexpected places, as it did for Mary. There's always some sort of mystery when it comes to faith. Otherwise, it wouldn't be faith at all. Sometimes we just need to sit and ponder with that mystery. It is in the mystery that we find faith and patience. Mary was a model disciple and the first, some would argue, but she showed quiet, steady, courageous faith. And there's a couple of things that I think Mary can teach us in this particular passage. To treasure what God says to us on the journey, even when we don't fully understand it. The promises of God unfold slowly. If God has given you a promise, perhaps many, many years ago now, he has not forgotten. Hold God's promises through every season. Even when we're confused and we don't understand what's happening, we can trust that God is always with us. Treasure the small confirmations. So as with Mary, God often speaks in ways that are surprising, humble, and easy to overlook. It might be a whisper or a thought or just a nudge in the right direction. So I encourage you to pay attention, be attentive to what is going on around you. Don't dismiss perhaps some of the quiet ways that God is speaking to you. He speaks through our children. He speaks through our friends and our colleagues. He speaks in nature, when we go for a walk, when we sit with him. Keep our eyes and our ears open. And he uses creative things, because he is a creative God, to speak to us. And faith is not loud. It's faithful. It's not flashy, but it's steady. And it's not instant, but it is enduring. And we sang that song earlier, his love endures forever. So a key truth that we can gain from this passage is that as we come to recognize Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's like finding treasure. Faith begins with holding and treasuring, not necessarily with understanding. So there's been an awful lot of things to think about there, and God may be speaking to you in different ways this morning. We're shortly going to be moving into a time of communion and sharing together. And as we do that, I'd like to just leave you with a few more questions, just to ponder over the course of our time together in communion and perhaps over the rest of the week. What is it that you're holding in your heart today? What promise has God spoken to you that you need to treasure again? What confusion do you need to ponder rather than panic? What long-delayed hope do you need to hold on to? And what revelation about Jesus is God inviting you to revisit?